Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Josh Brown, it's Monday, it's the wind-up, you've been playing a bit of the Deathloop, I'm Scott Tilford, you're Josh Brown, I said that before, but how is, or what the living hell is, a Deathloop?
Oh my god, I can't believe I'm going to have to come on here and explain to you what Deathloop even is. Yes, you are right, Scott.
I don't think most people know what this game is, I just don't think they do.
The reviews are out at the time that we're recording this. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually seen them, and ours is going to be out a little bit later because we actually got the copy a little bit later than some of the publications. So I didn't actually finish it until the other day. Going to get it written, recorded today. Should be up tomorrow. Yes. But yes, Deathloop itself, I have completed it, Scott. I've put about 20 plus hours into it, and I can finally tell you what it is. Deathloop, my friend, is a game where you star as a man called Colt. You are on this island that is, for some reason, in a time loop. You know, you're reliving the same day over and over again. You're reliving the same 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And your goal to break this time loop is to assassinate 8 different targets before that the loop resets, essentially. So you need to go out, you need to take all of these targets down, while at the same time, someone called Juliana is actually hunting you down in your games. And as you go trying to assassinate the target, you've got this other person trying to assassinate you. And that other player, that character, is actually controlled by a real-life human being who can invade your world and try to essentially mess up your runs as much as possible. And you know what? It's really, really good. It's really good. I was actually a little bit ill over the weekend. I had a bit of a cold, so sorry if this is coming through on the audio right now. But that meant that I took off Friday and just played Deathloop for 10 straight hours. 10 hours, just non-stop, while I already had a bad head high on Lemsips, just going crazy on it. And then obviously played it around the weekend as well. But yes, that is what Deathloop is. Do you understand what it is now?
I think I do. I mean, the thing is, I looked up a few of the bits and pieces of footage. I saw Lana Pierce did a Q&A session the other week when she did like a hands-on preview thing and just said that the way that they tackle it, because we need to talk about the sheer reality, the sheer amount of time loop games that are suddenly here. Like, what's going on in the various development meeting rooms across the land where we've got like 4 time loop games in the same year?
Hilariously and entirely accidentally, because I didn't know the Deathloop code would be coming, but I played 3 different time loop games back to back. I played the Forgotten
City. Can't escape them?
Went straight into 12 minutes and then literally went straight into Deathloop. So I played these 3 different games back to back, which is actually really fascinating. I think we should do a whole other thing on how all of these different games, including Returnal, which released earlier this year, use the mechanics of the time loop in completely like different ways in some cases. It's a fascinating case study, especially playing them all so close together. But yes, sorry, that's a tangent.
My point is, I think that's completely valid because I feel like a lot of people are going to start having these conversations on what time loop mechanics are in video games and whether or not they like them or not, because I feel like the thing, like 12 minutes made me hate it, like made me absolutely hate redoing the same conversations, redoing the same animations over and over again. And it was one of those things where, you know, and because I'm playing Forgotten City at the minute, I started that yesterday, and I know that's one thing that you really, really liked. Yeah, and that game is like really, really well presented in regards to acknowledging the reality that you are, you're going back through the same space over and over again. And I love the fact that the first time you redo the loop, it acknowledges it and lets you jump through that initial conversation, and so you just tell the guy that, like, hey, look, I already know everything you're about to tell me. I know your name. I know all these different things. And he's just like, oh God, I must be drunk. That's fine. And he just gives you like a zip. You get to have this zip line thing to get you through the level faster. This is sidestepping entirely what Forgotten City is. But point being that I feel like a lot of the discussions will emerge on, you know, what is a good time loop game? And how do you sort of reward someone over time where repetition is inherent? Because I feel like the last time the time loops were a bit of a thing, or repeat mechanics were a thing, was the roguelike boom, where you had things like Rogue Legacy. Was it Rogue Legacy? Yeah, Rogue Legacy. And, you know, like Binding of Isaac and titles that are sort of established in the console space, especially like the idea of roguelikes and the idea that death is just a mechanic, something maybe even Dark Souls you could roll in as well. You're going to be rerunning these areas over and over. But my thing, to bring it back to 12 minutes, was that if you are literally just doing the same thing over and over again, then that to me is just my hatred of bad checkpointing made into a game mechanic. And I despise that, which is one of the things that made me really hate a lot of 12 minutes. How does Deathloop fare in that entire context? Like you said, we should do an entire separate thing on time loop video games. But how does Deathloop feel in regards to respecting your time as the player? How much of it are you actually doing over and over again? And what have they got in place to let you bypass that stuff?
It's really interesting the way they do it, because this isn't, you know, it's not a roguelike. It's very much a single player, straightforward, story-driven shooter game. You know, it's very much action heavy. And because of that, while you are repeating, you know, the same day, you're ultimately in this time loop, the objectives that you're completing, you know, like they stack, they carry over and they change from day to day. So it's not literally repeating the exact same actions verbatim over and over again to get that minuscule difference like it was in 12 minutes. This is an entirely different beast where the two characters who know they're in the time loop are Colt and Juliana. So every single time that you even wake up, you know, you have a little bit of banter between them and they kind of carry on their rivalry, I suppose, as the days go on. So that's not getting reset. At the same time, your weapons and stuff, while you will initially start each day trying to scavenge weapons, you have this currency called Residium that you, you know, you essentially pick up throughout these different levels. And as long as you don't die, you get to bank that at the end of every run, and you get to save things like powers or weapons or trinkets, which are essentially like attachments for your weapons or power-ups for your character. You get to save the ones you like if you have enough, and then they stack to the next playthrough, which, so you can start with a certain gun, you can start with a certain power, you start building power through that system. So by the end of the game, you know, you have these loadouts that you can go to, you have a bunch of different weapons that you can immediately jump in and make use of, all of these different powers and all of that stuff. So that's a cool way to bank it. But I think the interesting thing about the loop itself is that it's actually split up into four different loops. So you have the general thing that lasts all day, you know, you need to defeat all of these targets within a specific time, but at the same time you have four different areas that you load into from a screen that act as their own kind of like mini open worlds, I suppose, mini sandboxes that you get to explore. You
like
get
a Hitman level almost.
It's almost exactly like a Hitman level. Okay. So you have these four Hitman level-esque places, but you also have four different times of day. You have a morning, noon, afternoon, and evening, and those levels change depending on what time of day you're in. So I mean that aesthetically. For instance, the more you go through the day, the more the entire map becomes coveted in snow, and that changes the way the landscape is. You have different enemy positions depending on different times of day, different targets and different you know, locations.
So
and
time
all that
is
stuff.
Progressing then, like
yes yeah. So time progresses throughout the day, and then obviously all that stuff resets from the beginning, but it means that you can't see everything in one loop, for instance. So every loop that you jump into, even if you're revisiting the same places in the same time of day, you're going to be viewing things that you just didn't see the first time around. It is gaining that knowledge, understanding how the levels work, understanding what time of day you need to be at somewhere. Like, that kind of management is what keeps it fresh and what keeps you pushing forward. Because on top of this, you've got all of these other, I guess, objectives to be working towards. It's not literally you're just in there to hit man your way through and kill the targets. Like, you need to build up to being able to kill some of them, for instance, because their schedules might clash, so you can only take out one at a time, so you can't be in two places at once. And therefore, the game is kind of a process of you trying to set up the best assassination route that you can possibly get to get through it all in one day. And that requires a lot of, you know, messing around with the world, figuring out their schedules, and ultimately knowing more about what the hell, what the rules of this loop are and what you can do in it.
So like that, because like, it's definitely, and this is way more subjective, I definitely feel myself bouncing off a lot of, not a lot of what you said, but I think a lot of the things that are inherent to time loop video games, like, oh, you're going to have to redo this thing over and over again and figure out the one thing that'll change. And I know you just said before that there is like a freshness to it because the levels change and the parts of the environments that you're going to make it seem fresh. And even the way you describe it makes them seem more like levels than one specific like overall space that's resetting. But I guess what I was going to ask is, did you feel remotely like annoyed by any of the setup, or does it feel more intelligently handled in regards to the baked in repetitious aspects of it? Like, they handle that in a way that says, like, look, we know you're going to have to do this over and over again, and we've accounted for that because you can actually find out this piece of information five different ways or whatever. Like, does it just feel like, did you get annoyed with it, or does it feel like they've managed that quite well?
I didn't get annoyed with it. On one level, you know, I have a lot more patience for these time loop games than I think you do. But at the same time,
I think you've got a lot more patience for life than I do when it comes to video games.
Maybe. But at the same time, of the four I played this year, this definitely, you know, is the one that kind of respects your time the most. It's the one that you're always doing something new, whichever run you're in. Like I said, you've always got new objectives. You've always got new targets. You're always getting more clues as to where you should be. And in fact, it's almost overwhelming. You know, when you first jump into it, it actually takes a little while to get going because there's so many different systems and so many different things that you need to account for that the game kind of really holds your hand for the first hour and a half, where it's running through everything just to set these systems in place so that 10 hours down the line, you don't feel like you're in this repetitive loop. You don't feel like you're just covering ground you've already covered. And that's awesome. And I feel like, you know, it's also worth stressing that this is an Arcane game, and those developers always champion freedom and exploration and doing things your way. And as a result, even if we all have the same objectives, we're all going to be doing them in different ways because we're all going to be taking different powers into the level. We're all going to be taking different weapons, different approaches, whether we want to sneak through the window and take a guy out from there or make something more elaborate. You know, there are so much freedom to the game that it was funny. I completed it and I went back to watch some old gameplay trailers that they'd released. And I was thinking, I cannot believe you could do that the entire time almost, because there is just that level of, you know, experimentation that the game kind of encourages you to indulge in that no two players will play it identically. Like, I love that.
Yeah, I love that side of it. I was going to ask, because Arcane, for me, I loved Dishonored 1, like, really loved it, and then just couldn't get into Dishonored 2, which is really weird, but I just bounced off that game, the level layouts, the weird sort of, how much they amped up the gore, and it's like, I just didn't like the feel of it, and barely got through much of Prey, and it's like, I've always wanted to love them more, but I was going to ask, like, in regards to Arcane, like, some of the things that are becoming a signature trait are they have really unique powers, or they have really unique weapons, like, there's the glue gun in Prey, or there's, like, the way you can sort of like connect minds together in Dishonored 2. I think it's in Dishonored 2. You kill one dude and they all die the same way. I know they brought something like that across into Deathloop, but yeah, did it feel like there's as much originality in the weapons and the power sets as there is in the overall game, the way that the whole game plays?
It's funny because they do, if you've played Dishonored, a lot of stuff will be familiar. You know, you have a shift ability that lets you do a short range teleport to get
to higher
places.
It's like the blink thing from Dishonored, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the blink thing. You do have an ability where you can connect minds, so then if you take out one person, everyone connected like instantly dies as well. And all of those might seem familiar on the surface, but at the same time, they're still robust with what you can do with them, and you have specific upgrades for those specific powers. You can change them in ways that make them more tailored to your own playstyle. You know, you can alter their properties in some instance, but there's so much you can do with them, you know, beyond what I even scratched. There are so many different ways you can play around with them. And I think the only issue is that the game doesn't necessarily always put you in positions where you feel like you're encouraged to do so because of the time loop framing. Sometimes that can feel at odds with, you know, messing up, for instance, in some ways, because then you do kind of feel like, not that a run is wasted, but that there was a more efficient way to do it that you just didn't realize, for instance. So there are some powers that I just didn't really mess around with at all because they weren't my play style, and I almost feel like I've kind of missed out on some potential possibilities there. But I always feel that way with games like this, especially games like Dishonored and Prey or whatever. It's more a failing, I think, of imagination on my part because I'm not necessarily willing to be creative because I find a solution that works. And I just think, well, that's my solution. Why would I go against that when that's so
efficient? This gun shoots people.
So good. This gun shoots people and I can blink up there. But, you know, for people who want to experiment, for people who love that creativity, there is so much you can do within those sandboxes that gameplay wise I don't feel like you'll feel limited or constricted or anything like that, because it is so open straight away.
Well, because one of the things that I loved about Dishonored, because one of the things that almost got memed at, with Dishonored 1 was like, oh, you can you know, have a bullet be fired at you from a guard or something, freeze time, jump into that dude's mind, walk him in front of his own bullet and let him get shot by his own bullet. And I remember trying to do that, and you can't do it. But it wasn't as easy as you would think, as that sort of became the reputation for that game back then, that it was so endlessly experimental that, oh my God, you can get a guy and shoot him with his own bullet. Do you think that they have tried to encourage that stuff more, or like you said, you can't just pick a playstyle, just play it more like baseline stealth, like, okay, you're going to teleport, but you know, you have weapons, you have crouching, you have assuming like enemy awareness that you can see which path you can take and stuff. Do they, like, I also kind of want to say, do they embrace their arcaneness? Because this feels like, to in some ways, this feels like the most arcane game possible. It's something that is set up to be as endlessly replayable and experimental as possible. But at the same time, you know, like, it would require like a change in the controls maybe, or a change in the way that they, because in Hitman, you know, they obviously over time with the rebooted trilogy, IO found a way to literally just tell you, like, hey, by the way, you might want to, you know, hang on to this detonation button and we'll figure something out for it later. Or, hey, by the way, grab the surgeon costume and do this crazy kill. Do they have stuff like that to sort of make you aware of what you're missing out on almost, or encouraging you to be more crazy?
It's kind of frustrating, this element, because they do and they don't. On the one hand, they do have this robust clue system, as they call it, so you can overhear NPCs in the world talking about a certain setup, for instance, or a certain thing that you might be able to do within the world that then the game kind of like marks for you as a clue that you can reference later on and maybe implement it in other scenarios. And there are a bunch of situations that are kind of like tutorialized, where it's like, you can do this if you mix X and Y together, for instance, you know. So there are some easy versions of them that you can remember later and then kind of implement. But the issue I have with it is that the loadouts when you go into these missions are kind of almost too limiting. For instance, you have a bunch of different powers, but you can only take two powers out every single time you load into one of the areas. And while that obviously, you know, brings up kind of like tactical advantages, and that you need to be aware of what kind of position, what kind of situation you're going into, it also feels a little bit limiting in a way, because I feel like these sandboxes would be even more enjoyable if you could swap between them all on the fly depending on the situation. And yes, not having them encourages replayability, but once you've been through it or got the optimum way through, you might not feel encouraged to go back anyway, you know. And you would feel overpowered if you had them all, but I can understand why they've done it, is what I'm trying to say. I can understand the trade-off. However, for me, there were times where I just wished I had access to all of them at once and could swap between them and kind of like see what happened, and then kind of like pick my favorites from that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Yeah, because I guess I could see myself getting to some part of some level and going like, oh, well, that's clearly the best thing I want to do, but I don't have that power. And then the thing that I have to do because of what I've equipped, I like just have to kind of make do. And I know that I have to reset the whole thing to be able to go down that path instead, which is that's me tapping back into my core. I don't know if I have a core hatred of just this checkpoint anxiety manifested as time loop games, but just that idea of anything making me redo stuff makes me itch. But I think that, but if they've got like some stuff in there that sort of says, like, hey, look, by the way, if you came back in with this other mind power, then maybe you could do something else. That is a way to, I guess, make the most out of the replayability side of it. Because does it feel big? Like as a big, you know, it almost doesn't feel like a AAA release. It feels like quite a fun mid-tier sandboxy, like it feels like quite, I don't know what the file size is. I don't know if it feels like a big game or not. But one of the benefits of a time loop game is making the most of an environment, making sure you scour every single part of it. How does that stuff feel? How does it feel in regards to like expectation of it being this big AAA Bethesda published thing?
Well, I mean, it's like a PlayStation 5 exclusive, isn't it? You know, which is so weird considering that Microsoft literally owns Bethesda and their first release is the PlayStation 5 exclusive. It does feel, at least in my opinion, it feels like a big game. Yes, you only have 4 locations, but like I said, those locations are big. They're intricate. You're not going to see all of them straight away, and they change substantially depending on what the time of day you're in, like I said, you know. So in terms of sheer possibilities within those levels and sheer things to see, it is, you know, incredibly detailed and incredibly labyrinthian in a really good way. There are so many different trinkets to get. There are so many different characters. There's so much banter, so much dialogue, quite a lot to the story as well. Like, it doesn't feel like any part of the design has been skimped on. You know, it feels like a proper AAA game, in my opinion, even if it's not going to be the one that I don't think blows people away or kind of justifies the need for a PlayStation 5. Like, I was playing it, and I think visually it's very good, but it doesn't look like a Ratchet and Clank or even a Demon's Souls or anything like that. It doesn't need to be. But when I was playing it, I was almost thinking, is there a reason why this isn't on PlayStation 4? If that makes sense. Because I could see it running on PlayStation 4, obviously, with a few setbacks.
Because with the PS5 stuff, it's like, doesn't always have to be visually, but in terms of loading, like, does it feel like it shows off what the PS5 can do? Or are there load screens? Are there, you know, is there anything on the tech side where you go like, okay, this is taking full advantage of the PlayStation 5?
It's more the subtle details. Like, the loading is fast, but you still do a lot of it. That's kind of like the biggest surprise. That was the biggest surprise for me going into it, is that, you know, like I said, every time you load into a certain time period during a certain level, like every time you leave that time period to progress to the next part of the day, you jump back into a loading screen, you can tinker with your loadout, and then you jump back in. So there is a lot of loading in and out, but it is quite fast. And the reprise mechanic, which is that when you die in the game, you get two lives, essentially. So you get the chance to come back within a mission twice. You die and you immediately kind of like respawn. And that is kind of like really fast because it's all happening, you know, in the moment. Like, it doesn't really cut out or load or anything. It just kind of like shoots you back to a different place, which I know isn't anything new, but it would make more sense if you could see the way they do it visually, because there's like just no kind of like stop to it. But it's, yeah, like I said, the next gen stuff, it's more in the subtle details. It's in the DualSense 5, which is just so good. Like, every step you take literally in the game, you can feel it. When you plonk your left foot down, you can feel it in the left hand side of your controller, same with the right hand side. And that genuinely adds a sense of tangibility to your character. It makes you feel like you really occupy space in the world. It makes you feel like this lumbering, muscly dude kind of barreling his way through these levels. And obviously, when you crouch and go to stealth mode, that disappears. So it really does feel like you have an extra element of tactility to when when you can't be seen.
Yeah, did they do cool stuff with the controller with the powers as well? Because like Returnal was a really good showcase of like what weapons can feel like in a controller, things like that.
Not as well as Returnal, and there's maybe a bit of a downside to that. I think they use the speaker really well to accentuate some of those powers and to accentuate the dialogue especially, but it's really good, but it's not the thing that's going to sell you on a PlayStation 5. Like, that is definitely Ratchet and Clank or Returnal or something. So it uses them well, but it doesn't use them in a way that kind of breaks the mold, which admittedly is to be expected considering that they're not a first-party studio and they're making this as a second-party thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that I think will be like underscoring it, because it's like it is the last big or the last PlayStation 5 exclusive of the year. Like Kane is going to be on PS4 as well, and it's that thing of like, should I get angry that I don't have a PS5, etc. And obviously, like right now, like you said, Microsoft own Bethesda. I feel like it'll come to Xbox in the next sort of few years. I just don't think it'll stay as a platform exclusive. I'm not sure if they've actually addressed that or not.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was a trailer, or maybe in the game itself, it said that it was exclusive at least until this time next year. So I think it's a one-year exclusivity thing,
right,
and then it'll go to Xbox.
Yeah, I feel like it's just stupid to not leverage that, the amount of money that they've played and stuff, put in, I mean. But one thing I was going to ask is the way that I think Arkane stuff feels, and this is the thing that eventually sort of put me off Prey and Dishonored 2, is just like... I guess, well, to kind of reset that question a bit, is how does Deathloop feel as a shooter? Like, do they have you doing a lot of shooting, or what's the general like feel of it? You mentioned a bit with like the controls, and you feel like it's quite weighty. But like, how much of a shooter is it? Because I've seen like some of the early previews have said that it's actually way more actiony than they expected. But I guess that might just be the way that they're choosing to take out the targets.
Oh no, it's 100. It's like the most action-packed Arkane game that I've played, you know.
Okay.
And the gunplay has been leveled up to reflect that. Like, it's
can
like
you slide?
Guns,
can I
you can
slide?
Slide? You can
Thank
slide into a kick, and then you Ooh. Can even like throw someone into a wall if you want with your powers. It's when you link all that stuff up, it works really well. But there is still an element of clunkiness to the gunplay, especially early on when you have kind of weaker weapons that aren't doing much damage. It can kind of feel a little bit sloppy, a little bit clunky, a little bit like you're fumbling around trying to find some precision or trying to find some kind of damage dealer that can really take out these enemies. But once you kind of like get into the rhythm of it, and once you incorporate the movement with the gunplay, with the powers, it becomes far more smoother and becomes far more impactful. Some of the guns towards the end of the game, when they're leveled up a little bit, when you're pulling off headshots, just feel magnificent and delicious. I played most of it on the performance mode, which was more or less a rock solid 60 second, which
you told
adds
me there's like,
so much.
There's like three modes to choose from. That's going to break me.
Yes, it is. There are three modes to choose from. It defaults in the performance mode, which is, I think it tries to hit 4K, but is steady 60 frames.
Okay.
There is a graphics mode, which prioritizes 4K and graphical fidelity and has 60 frames per second with drops. And then there's a ray tracing mode, which is 30 frames and adds ray tracing, obviously. I personally, this is going to change everyone. I would recommend the performance mode. I think this game works better when you have those silky smooth, you know, frame rates, and it makes the gunplay feel way more engaging.
Does performance
would have otherwise?
Sorry, does performance sacrifice the ray tracing though?
Yes, but two out of the three sacrifice the ray tracing.
Ha!
Scott Telford, you know me. I normally love a bit of ray tracing. Excuse me. I normally love a bit of ray tracing in my life, but I couldn't actually see substantially how it increased the game's like visuals. Like, it obviously does, but not in a way, for me personally, and like I say, I'm normally all about this stuff, in a way that was worth the drop off in frame rate. For me, I prioritize frame rate over everything because it feels so good playing it in 60 frames.
I didn't used to. It's very much Rich Hudson was correct that like we should have always been prioritizing performance modes. And me and you were, at least I was definitely back in the day, was going, what do you mean? I've paid for the console. I want to be able to see all the fancy stuff. And I do want to see the ray tracing stuff. But I'm very much performance these days. I can very much feel the difference when I go back to 30 FPS. I've been playing back through Aliens vs. Predator because I'm ill. Game doesn't, the Series X is as many different things as the Series X can do to it. It can't boost the frame rate. It's one of those games where it doesn't auto boost the frame rate. I can feel the 30 FPS thing. And I guess do Deathloop as well, because it is such a fast kind of acrobatic game. You jump it around verticality and everything else. You want to have it as fast as possible. You did when you messaged me about it, I think it was over the weekend, you said that it didn't blow you away, or there was something about it that didn't make it land as like a 5-star thing. And not to make you talk about your rating, because we do have the review coming up, but is there something about it that kind of doesn't make it this perfect, oh my god, you've got to see it style release?
I always find it difficult, especially as a critic, to kind of delineate between a 4-star game, for instance, and a 5-star game, because it's hard to, I think we've talked about this in a podcast, it's hard to kind of pin down the special sauce that makes something transcend into something else. But I guess it's just what I was saying before, in that the gunplay feels really good, but it doesn't feel amazing. The dual sense feels really good, but it's not at the level of kind of Returnal or Ratchet and Clank. The visuals are really great, but it's not a next-gen showpiece, you know what I mean? So yeah. It's a really, in my opinion, it's a really, really good game, and I loved it even after I finished it. Like, I didn't expect to go back, but I had the itch to explore these levels even more than I already have and do these assassinations in different ways just for the fun of it, rather than, because I don't even know what the trophies are. I couldn't even like see them, obviously, playing a pre-release copy. So I might go back and have those kind of like authored experiences that I let it miss out the first time around. But yeah, it's just, it's kind of hard to explain. It's just, it's really good. And I think the setting and the exploration and the world, like all arcane games, is the highlight. Like, that's the thing that I do love. I loved exploring these environments. I loved getting to know the characters. I think Colt and Juliana especially, they're so well written, and the performances are so good and charismatic that you just want to spend time with them. You want to see them, you know, butt heads essentially. And all that stuff is really kind of like great. But yeah, the rest of it is just sort of, there are drawbacks to it. Like I said, some of the powers kind of like don't feel as inventive as they maybe could have, or original as they could have. I kind of wish the loadouts were more expanded. Getting booted back to the menu kind of takes out some of the momentum sometimes. The extended tutorial doesn't make the best first impression. So I think it's good, but there are some of these negatives that I just kind of can't get away from. And we haven't actually talked about the multiplayer aspect of it.
That was what I was just going to say. Because you've got, you mentioned at the very beginning about the invader stuff, and obviously the go-to, especially like in a mainstream context of what an invader, because I was going to say it was Dark Souls, but I remember in Dark Souls 2 when you fight the, I think it's called the Mirror Knight or whatever you call it, and the dude, like, you're fighting this boss and he summons another player to fight you in real time amongst the boss fight itself, and I was like, that's the coolest thing in the world, like, that is really, really cool. And obviously getting invaded in your game sometimes can just completely ruin everything, because you might come up against someone who's really, really good. How does Deathloop handle the idea that at any point someone can just leap in?
This is the element that I do love. I think this is great. I think it's what elevates it and elevates each run into something completely unpredictable and something really tense. You know, when you get the announcement that Juliana is in the world, you know, first off, it locks off your escape route. So every time you finish a level, you need to an escape route to get out of it. So you need to find an antenna, and you need to unblock that before you can escape. And obviously that makes a kind of like zone where she can, you know, overlook and kind of like set an ambush for you if you were to come and try to unblock them so you can escape, whatever. But it's great going through these levels, trying to complete your objectives, knowing that someone out there is just trying to take you down. And there are so many cool tricks that you get as playing as Juliana to kind of like Assassin's Creed multiplayer your way into the world. So you get a masquerade ability, which allows you to swap costumes.
I was gonna say, can you just be an NPC? Yes. Yeah,
so you can look like an NPC, so you can get the drop on people that way. Obviously, if you played the game, you know in some ways where the key areas are, so you might be able to hang around near a target, for instance. If you think
I was just gonna say, can you like scupper someone's main target choice or chance?
I don't know if you can kill them, but you can be there. You can be there ready to drop once they once you take them out, and that's happened a few times. There was one incredibly funny for me, not funny for the person that I got, but they were kind of like overlooking this ballroom where one of the targets arrives. And I kind of like maybe figured that out. So I snuck up to the top to where the vantage point would be. And sure enough, the player was there, and I managed to kind of get the drop on them and counteract it. And moments like that are just so surprising and so cool and so kind of like dynamic that it keeps the game fresh, that keeps it interesting. And adds this extra element that I found really fascinating. You don't have to play with this on. You can turn the online mode off. But for me, I loved it. And I'm not disappointed that I got it early, Scott Tilden, because absolutely not. But it's going to be interesting, you know, obviously, when more people are playing it and these invasions potentially happen more frequently. Because sometimes I'll go through a level and it wouldn't happen just because of the player base, you know, it being pre-release. But I imagine this happens quite frequently when you're playing it on the launch version. And that's tantalizing, man. Like, that's really cool.
I was going to say, can you stealth kill the other player? Do they have any way of tracking you? Or is it just, you know, they're in the world somewhere? And then
you just know they're
point.
In the world, but if you can like figure out where they are, like if you see them and they don't see you, then you can sneak up and stealth kill them. And that's really exciting. You know, you can snipe them or something, you know, those fights are cool. Again, it's a little bit clunky sometimes as you kind of both just scrambled and try to.
Yeah, arcane first person combat's not great, melee combat.
Totally, because the gunplay isn't, you know, Call of Duty or whatever. And I feel like it seems well balanced. I haven't played much as Juliana myself, just because, like I said, it was a bit difficult to get into games because of the player count before launch. But I did play it a few times, and it was really fun. I prefer to be cold getting hunted down rather than doing the hunting.
Right.
But I do think it's a really interesting element, and I think it's something that people would enjoy, because it's that kind of, you know, asymmetrical multiplayer experience that's added on to an already really good single-player game.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything about this seems cool. I've got it preloaded, so I'm going to play at midnight, and we'll check out, and we'll try and do more coverage on Deathloop across the week. You've got your review coming out on Tuesday, so everybody check the video channel for that, and then we'll just see what happens. I'm away at the end of this week again, but we'll see how much we can put together. We might do another the main podcast on it as well, because I know Ben Roy's playing through it as well. And,
well,
we'll see what we
it'll
can
be
do.
Interesting to get into spoilers, because I've spoiled, hopefully I've spoiled absolutely nothing.
No,
there
you've
is
not.
Some interesting
I barely know what this
story.
Game is, mate. No,
exactly.
Not
I barely, even touched who you have to kill or what the hell Juliana is throughout this entire thing, but all of
ooh,
those
what
answers...
She is.
Well, who she is, I suppose. I don't want to lead anyone down the wrong route with that, or pretend like I've spoiled something.
She's a cat.
But yes. Yeah, she's a cat. There are a lot of interesting twists and turns. The story goes on, is all I'm saying. And I enjoyed almost all of them.
It sounds amazing. I think, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting checked into it. And we'll just, yeah, we'll see how much else we can put together, depending on whether it lends itself to ending explained or spoiler dissections or tips and tricks or whatever else. But yeah, for now, this has been the wind-up. Hopefully you're all considerably wound up for the week, and we'll catch you all next week. I've been Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you then. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.